The Mildly Alarming Podcast is brought to you by Crime Mummy. Last season saw Crime Mummy and Lonnie take on their biggest case yet.
All right, Crime Mummy, this is it. The Holly Smoot Gang is in that warehouse. You ready, pal? You're right, Crime Mummy. Here goes.
But if Crime Mummy knows anything, it's that crime is never mummy.
Stay close, Crime Mummy. Look out, Crime Mummy! Oh my god, Crime Mummy! You've been hit! Hang on, Crime Mummy! I need backup at the docks! Crime Mummy's down! Don't you die on me!
Will Crime Mummy pull through? Probably. He's a mummy. But will Lonnie pull through this stark reminder of his own mortality? Find out all this and more with Crime Mummy, weeknights on NCBABPS 7.
Coming to you live from the set of Crime Mummy, I'm Tom Rich, and with me as always is the cast of the finest show on television, and this is the Mildly Alarming Podcast, where it's all mummies, all the crime. Episode Crime Mummy.
The Mildly Alarming Podcast is brought to you by My Mummy. Last season saw My Mummy and Lonnie take on their biggest case yet.
All right, My Mummy, this is it. The Holly Smoot Gang is in that warehouse. You ready, pal? Heh heh, you're right, My Mummy. Here goes.
But if My Mummy knows anything, it's that crime is never mum. Me.
Stay close, My Mummy. Look out, My Mummy! Oh my god, My Mummy! You've been hit! Hang on, My Mummy. I need backup at the docks. My Mummy's down. Don't you die on me.
Will My Mummy pull through? Probably. He's a mummy. But will Lonnie pull through this stark reminder of his own mortality? Find out all this and more with My Mummy, weeknights on NCBABPS 7. Welcome back to the Mildly Alarming Podcast Crime Mummy Edition. I'm Johannes Stauffer.
And I'm Tom Crime Mummy Rich.
I guess that makes me Lonnie.
That's okay. Lonnie's pretty cool. I like him a lot.
He is pretty great.
Yeah, he does some good stuff, and he's got some great character growth over the course of the first season, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
It's true.
So important announcement for the show tonight, the show being brought to you by NCBABPS 7, where the home of Crime Mummy. We are out of money. Completely. Totally broke.
It's gone.
No money for the podcast anymore. We spend it on crepes.
We finally found out what crepes are.
Yes.
They are what mummies are wrapped in.
Yep. You wrap a mummy up in a crepe, and that's how it works. But so we had no more money, so we had to go looking for sponsors, and the one we were able to find was NCBABPS 7, the home of Crime Mummy, and so they are sponsored now, but we do have to work a few references into the show to both Crime Mummies and Crime Mummy, the television show, highly rated, Engelbert Award-winning, just really great, action-packed drama on your TV.
Beloved by all who see it.
That's really good stuff. So just a few references here and there, just a couple, little bit of Crime Mummy mixed into your regular Mildly Alarming Podcast goodness. It's like those peanut butter cups where they got the chocolate and then the peanut butter, only it's if you made there be less peanut butter. We're the chocolate, Crime Mummy is the peanut butter.
But we promise you'll barely notice.
Right, it's just
and what you do notice will only add to what was already a great, if
foundering. Is that a word? Podcast.
Yeah. Financially insolvent.
Yeah, podcast.
Yes. So what's our first segment tonight, Johannes?
I don't know. You told me to close the outline, so I don't remember. Oh, that's right. It's a review of our favorite television show, Crime Mummy.
Crime Mummy. I love that show.
What do you love about it?
I love the production values. You know, they do a really great job of making you believe that that is a mummy moving around upon your screen. That's not easy to do. I tried to do it on Halloween and nobody believed I was a mummy.
No, I think the visual effects are great. And maybe it's a little audio nerd of me, but I think the Foley, the sound effects are really just first rate.
See, I'm not qualified to really appreciate them, but like even I can tell like there's some effort put in there.
Yeah, and like those mummy sounds are really otherworldly.
It's
you know?
What I would think a mummy would sound like if I thought about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mummies.
And crime.
So as I'm sure you all know, being huge Crime Mummy fans that you must be, how could you not, like Crime Mummy on 8/7 Central on CBABPS7, you must have seen the premiere just the other week, right? You
guys, of season two?
Yeah, you guys all saw that, right? Everybody saw that?
I can't imagine they didn't.
Who wouldn't? Who would skip it? It was so good. I didn't think Esmeralda would be coming back. And the way she came, right?
Right. Shocking. The return of the Holly Smoot gang.
I thought they were done. The last time we saw Holly, he had that beer bottle in his gut.
Yeah. And now to have joined forces... Well, I don't want to spoil anything those who haven't seen it, if anyone
who
like that even exists.
Well, maybe somebody had to TiVo it.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
Is that still a thing? TiVo?
I don't know, but they should also send us money for advertising them on our show.
Yep.
Go to www.tivo.com, probably.
Send us a check. But it was so good. Just such good stuff. Like, I didn't think they could top the end of last season, but it came back and really... Like, Lonnie's arc had felt like it had wrapped up. You know, he had gone from this orphan boy in 19th century London all the way to a cop in Brooklyn of the 21st century. Like, that's a heck of a character growth there.
Yeah.
But somehow they just keep building.
Yeah.
I didn't think Lonnie had anywhere left to go.
He just keeps getting larger than life and deeper in character. You know?
Yeah, just really, it's really moving. You know, it makes me want to try harder.
And it's really a credit to the writers, because to keep any other character standing out the way that Lonnie does in what would otherwise be the shadow of Crime Mummy is really impressive.
The guy who plays Crime Mummy, such a good actor.
Yeah.
They don't even tell you his name.
Nope.
He's that dedicated. Like, I heard he won't let them put his name in the credits because he just wants to disappear into the role of Crime Mummy.
Well, there's a rumor going around that he may be an actual ancient pharaoh.
That can't be true. Like, you think?
I don't know.
I mean, he certainly sells it like
well,
he is.
Well, I mean,
but
think about it. If you were an actual ancient pharaoh brought back to life as an all-powerful magical mummy, would you want your name out there and everyone to know which ancient pharaoh you were and maybe try to figure out your name to gain power over you?
That's a good point.
Like, the pieces fit is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I would want to be on the best show on television.
Right.
So who wouldn't? As soon as I figured out what television was.
Or maybe he's been around for so long that he had a hand in creating television.
Are you telling me that?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, so good. Such a good show. So we get re-rate the opener of the new season of Crime Mummy, probably a 9.5 out of 10. I gotta take a little bit, just a tiny bit. I gotta bite a little bit back.
I don't know.
I'm gonna
give you the benefit of the doubt, but you better spit it out.
I was thrown for a loop by the talking dogs.
I thought, you know, there's already a mystical mummy.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably likes dogs. A lot of people like dogs.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, we've had, 11 seasons to get used to the idea of a mummy fighting crime? And all of a sudden, there's this group of talking dogs out of nowhere? And, like, the thing that throws me off the most about them is that we had that entire sequence in season, 4 with the canine unit. You know, that was a major plot point. Like, Lonnie got mauled by dogs. And now we're back to talking dogs? Like, well, yeah, where were the talking dogs like, then?
Not all dogs are talking.
Though, yeah, but you would
not think... all people have red hair.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it fits. There's an Egyptian god who has a dog head, right? He could probably talk.
I think that's a jackal.
Which is a dog?
Is a jackal a dog or a cat?
It's definitely not a cat.
Okay. All I'm saying is it threw me for a loop, but it's still the first episode. Like, they might be going somewhere with this that I don't see yet.
Well, anyway, we don't want to get too far and spoil anything for anyone who's just binge watching on Netflix. Netflix, send us a check, or any other streaming service like Hulu. Or
one last heads up: don't eat steak during the episode. You won't want that.
Don't do that. We don't want to spoil anything, so we're going to wrap it up here. But I would say. From the two of us, a collective four enthusiastic crepe-wrapped thumbs up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm double creping my thumbs. And that is the last you will hear about crime for this episode, we promise. The last thing about crime or mummies, we're done. We've got the sponsorship. We've fulfilled our part of the bargain.
Right. So we're going to have another more, I think, game-related segment like you have come to expect from us coming right up after the break.
So be right back.
The Mildly Alarming Podcast is brought to you by Chime Mummy. Last season saw Chime Mummy and Lonnie take on their biggest case yet.
All right, Chime Mummy, this is it. The Holly Smoot Gang is in that warehouse. You ready, pal? You're right, Chime Mummy. Here goes.
But if Chime Mummy knows anything, it's that crime is never mummy.
Stay close, Chime Mummy. Look out, Chime Mummy! Oh my god, Chime Mummy! You've been hit! Hang on, Chime Mummy. I need backup at the docks! Chime Mummy's down! Don't you die on me!
Will Chime Mummy pull through? Probably. He's a mummy. But will Lonnie pull through this stark reminder of his own mortality? Find out all this and more with Chime Mummy, weeknights on NCBABPS 7.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Glad to have you here for a board gaming-related piece of the show, theme ballin'. For those not in the know, theme balling is a segment where each one of us throws a theme at the other guy, and the other guy has to then spit a game out based on that theme. Johannes, do you want to go first or second?
Sure, I'm actually prepared this time. I have a theme for you ready as soon as you're ready for it.
I am prepared. My body is willing.
Terrifying. My theme for you is crime. Go.
I'm pumped. So hear me out now. What if we do a game about, it's a two-player game, Buddy Cop. So you're two cops trying to solve some sort of crime, maybe against
like
some sort
already.
Of game or gang. But one of you is like a haggard, you know, detective. You know, he's kind of rough around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got some powers based on that and whatnot. But the other character, and this is the twist, is a mummy.
Wow.
Right?
That came right out of left field.
There is absolutely no financial incentive for me to pick that.
No.
Not at all.
Just pure creativity.
So you've got this detective character who knows all of the police procedural stuff, and he's got a couple of decks of cards and some tokens and whatnot that he uses to work the system. Like, he can collect evidence and tag it and bag it and submit stuff to the DA to try to get a prosecution. But his partner, the mummy, has vast and almost unlimited magical powers. And so he can use that to scour the gangsters from the earth with hellfire. Or, bring about plagues of locusts.
Is the mummy at all bound by any sort of oath as a officer of
the... Well, yeah, he's a sworn officer of the law. It wouldn't work otherwise. But
right,
he's kind of the loose cannon of the pair. But that's kind of where the game gets interesting. Because the detective is used to being the loose cannon. But now he's got to be the by-the-book one. Because this guy, the mummy... Well, he's a mummy. He doesn't know modern American police procedure.
Right.
So you've got to balance those two in order to, because you need to prosecute. You got to bring somebody before the law. But you also, you know, sometimes you just got to rain fire. And so the victory conditions are very difficult for both of you to achieve in one game.
Well, what are we talking here? RPG?
I'm thinking it's not quite an RPG, like a light RPG maybe.
Right.
with some board, some area control on a board. You know, like where have you conducted enough? Where have you put the heat on enough that the gang isn't going to operate? What parts of the town?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can safely not direct your resources there. Or where has the mummy directed the Eye of Horus and thus has perfect knowledge of that block?
Okay.
And so they don't dare operate there, obviously.
Always the same gang? Does the gang change up?
Yeah, I'm thinking it would be like a couple of different decks that you put to get you draw from and you put them together to generate the gang and they give it different properties. Like,
okay.
You know, like a goal for the gang, like they're trying to smuggle TVs or take over City Hall or whatever.
Maybe their front for their, you know, their mafia front, the seemingly legitimate business mm-hmm. through which they launder their money could confer some bonuses for them against the, so like maybe if they're exterminators, then the mummy's scarab hordes probably are not so useful against that particular gang.
Yeah. Or if they own a fireworks shop, there's a lot of fire. And so he's not going to want to go in there. Cause he's real dry.
He's desiccated.
And that could add, you could add an entire weather mechanic on top of it where sometimes it's raining and he doesn't want to go out because if he gets wet, he might rot.
Which would be a real problem.
That would be a significant problem for a mummy and for the detective.
To add regular old rot all on top of the dry rot that's probably going on.
And like two, there needs to be a mechanic where the gangs might steal his canoptic jars.
There's no T.
Okay. And then all of a sudden they have control of the mummy. Because they have his heart and his brain and his kidneys, liver? I don't know which organs they take out.
I don't recall. Everything I know about Egyptian culture I learned from Stargate and Crime Mummy.
NCBA BPS 7, weeknights 8-7 Central. Watch it. But so that's what I would do.
All right, we're about the halfway mark. I guess I'll have to let that be good enough. What's your theme for me?
So, totally unrelated, in no way coming off of anything that's happened before, but I think you're going to like it. Mummies.
Mummies. That's a tough one. Okay. Does it have to be mummies, plural?
You could go mummy if you only wanted one.
Like the mummy.
The mummy, yeah.
That kind of thing. Okay.
Return of
the
mummy.
Well, we couldn't get the licensing for the mummy.
Yeah. It's expensive.
Brendan Fraser would hunt us down.
It's true. And very scary.
Okay. It's a little outside the box, but bear with me.
Okay.
One player is a mummy. I don't think you want a lot of mummies because mm-hmm. I figure overpowered and like what can compete with them?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're all dead pharaohs, they're probably going to be butting heads with one another trying to vie for power, which could be an interesting game. But I feel like, the power of the mummies would balance itself out and it would just be another area control.
Yeah. And actually, there's already an area control pharaoh game out there. So.
Right. So we're going to go kind of a asymmetrical co-op, I think. So one character is a mummy, mm-hmm. clearly. And the other one is, and bear with me, I know it's going to sound strange, but maybe some kind of like a detective.
Okay.
Or probably not a private eye, maybe, but probably more on the police force.
Sure. I see where you're going with that.
Because a private eye, they can be a loose cannon on their own. They can do their own thing. Uh-huh. You want kind of that, the overarching structure of the police hierarchy
mm-hmm.
To kind of keep them in check. So it's probably two player. You could probably go more if you wanted to let other players control the bad guys.
Okay.
It's not always, you don't have to make them bad guys. So I'm thinking probably you've got 2-on-2 maybe.
Okay.
You've got a mummy and a detective working together, and then the other two control some sort of crime syndicate.
Maybe a gang?
A gang of some sort.
Okay.
Maybe one of them kind of controls the larger portion of the gang, the like sending out of groups of thugs to different places where mm-hmm. the other one, to keep that sort of asymmetrical thing going on, might be not necessarily magical, but maybe a more powerful person in control who has some sort of romantic interest with the cop character.
Ooh,
so there's kind of some, I need to stop you. You're a criminal, but I love you. You know, mm-hmm. there's some balances there, right?
Sure.
And they have to try to take control of the whole city. And maybe you'll have like a map and streets. And mm-hmm. I don't know. If, I said I didn't want to go area control, but I guess you sort of could.
Like a light area control.
But light area control, not a lot of resource management. And I guess
mm-hmm.
in a certain number of rounds, probably one team or the other has to try to take over New York City.
Yeah, you got to either clear it out as the mummy and the detective, or
gain control of the whole
right,
city.
Right, right. Yeah. So like you could even have a mechanic where like the gang has to get control of the police force by like corrupting the commissioner.
I was just going
to
say that. You don't even need the area control. You could even make it almost like a bluffing mechanic. You could make it a card game or something of the sort, and you all got everyone would have to know who the mummy is.
Well, that's obvious.
And the mummy would know who. No, that with only four players now, everyone knows things except for one person.
That could be amusing.
Yeah, but probably not fun.
Which one doesn't know anything? Is it?
It would be the person who controls the mafia, but because clearly the mummy knows who the police officer is.
Right.
Police officer knows who the mummy is.
Right.
Everyone has to know who the mummy is because he's a mummy.
He's a mummy, yeah.
The police officer and the romantic interest, like mob boss type, have to know who one another are. So the only person who doesn't know... Nope, everyone knows everything. There's no way not to know. It doesn't work for bluffing in that respect. Undercover cop doesn't work so great when your partner is a mummy.
No, he's not.
But still.
But yeah. Can you imagine a mummy in like a trench coat and a hat just trying to sneak down the street?
Well, you know, I don't have to imagine because I get to see it every weeknight, 8/7 Central on NCBA BPS7.
Because you watch Crime Mummy.
Who wouldn't?
I don't know of a single person who isn't a criminal who doesn't watch Crime Mummy.
Those criminals.
Bad people.
You know, if they watched Crime Mummy, they might have seen what was coming.
They might have reformed their ways. You know, if more of our police forces had mummies on them, we could probably clean up these streets.
I guess we'll have to wait until the next episode to find out.
I guess we will.
Well, we'll be right back with another game-related segment. After this short break.
See ya.
The Mildly Alarming Podcast is brought to you by Rhyme Mummy. Last season saw Rhyme Mummy and Lonnie take on their biggest case yet.
All right, Rhyme Mummy, this is it. The Holly Smoot Gang is in that warehouse. You ready, pal?
Gal. Shall. Hal.
You're right, Rhyme Mummy. Here goes.
Nose. Toes. Rose.
But if Rhyme Mummy knows anything, it's that crime is never mummy.
Stay close, Rhyme Mummy.
Tummy, rummy, scummy.
Look out, Rhyme Mummy! Oh my god, Rhyme Mummy, you've been hit!
Quit, sit, fit.
Hang on, Rhyme Mummy! I need backup at the docks! Rhyme Mummy's down! Don't you die on me!
Fee. We.
Will Rhyme Mummy pull through? What will Lonnie do? Do mummies go to heaven? My brother's name is Kevin.
Well, welcome back to the Mildly Alarming Podcast, everybody, brought to you by Crime Mummy, 8/7 Central, weeknights, NCBA BPS7. I'm Tom Rich.
And I'm Johannes Stauffer.
And we're happy to have you here on our show. So we've hit the mummies and the crimes pretty heavily so far. Now we're going to talk a little bit about game mechanics. We got some mechanic ideas we want to work with, and we'd like to talk to you about them. So here's what we got. We were thinking about, what do you call it? Player elimination. We talk about that a lot. Like, player elimination is bad. You don't want to have people sitting at your game table not able to play for a long period of time. And we were thinking, what if there were a way for eliminated players who have definitively lost the game, to still impact the game in some way? Like, they're dead, they're out, but they could still, you know, kind of rise up from their sandy graves and have an impact on the game, like a kind of like a one of them. What's the
like
word?
A raccoon?
No, not a raccoon. We've talked about this.
Crepes?
Yeah, like a crepe. They rise up like a crepe, and they still have an impact on the game.
Now, what's the thing with the crepes?
The thing with the crepes? Mummy.
Mummy. Yeah. Mummy.
A mummy. They'll come up, they'll be like mummies, and they'll have an impact. So, I guess my question for you to start out with is, these players, by our definition, are definitively eliminated.
Right.
They are dead. They are done.
They can't win.
They can't. They're out. They have no more win condition. Is it even worthwhile trying to give them a way to impact the game, or is it just, should we just be like, you know, go get a soda? When the game is over, you can play the next game that people play.
Well, the thing we talked about the last few times player elimination has come up is that sometimes that is a mercy to be able to just go. Maybe there's enough of the game left that you just want to start another game with someone else.
Sure.
or a one-player game if you have one of those and that's your thing. But since that's what we talked about, let's talk about the other side of it. There are games that allow, either intentionally allow players to, after they've been outright eliminated, affect the game, or you've been effectively eliminated, but you're still kind of in, and it's like, why bother wiping out your last colony? So you still have very limited effect on the game, but there's no way you could possibly win. And what you tend to see in those situations is you can have some limited effect to try to tip the scale in the favor of another player who's still in. But it's not usually all that interesting.
You can kind of play Kingmaker a little bit, but...
Yeah, but not a whole lot. Now, a mummy is an all-powerful magical being. So what if, when you lose the game, you can no longer win, but you can just ruin everyone else's
That sounds like a lot of fun for you.
Yeah.
But not so great for everybody else.
Yeah.
Who's still alive. But you can't win, so no player is going to be incentivized to become the mummy. Become the mummy.
Right.
But once you start to lose, all of a sudden, you're going to run to be the mummy, because that's more fun than being in a weak position.
Right.
Right? So the game actually does it. You don't want to be the mummy until all of a sudden you're like, I got to be the mummy now.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of interesting.
It's kind of interesting. I think the problem you run into is that the definition of win is so loose. Like, what's the game we played just the other day? We were playing Time and Space.
Yeah.
And the tie was like, if two players are tied for score, whichever player has more actual physical order tokens is the winner.
And we were all kind of disappointed in that.
And then, if there's nothing, then it's just a tie. And I'm like, well, why not just say it was a tie to begin with? And so the definition of a win a lot of the time is not really all that compelling.
Sure.
And there's so many different game styles, you know, it's hard to, across the board, say this is the case. I imagine the player elimination, overpowered mummy comes back, can do kind of way more than a dead person should be able to, mechanic would probably end up happening more in big, not necessarily Euro-y, but, you know, Risk, Eclipse, big, competitive, every man for himself melee fight games. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It would make you would need some. It's got to be kind of an every man for himself type of thing. What if the mummy doesn't come back permanently? What if, like, the animus magic of the mummy is temporary? So, like, you say I'm knocked out on turn three. I spend turn four being embalmed by my loyal priests, and then on turn five I come back as this ruinous power. But then at the end of turn five I'm done. Then I'm out.
Oh, you're out. Still eliminated. Yeah, the mummy, you get your one go.
Yeah, the bindings of my mummily form vanish, and I crumble to dust once again. So
that's kind of interesting.
So I've got this one chance to not win. I'm out. I'm definitively done. I'm not going to win the struggle for Egypt or whatever this game is.
Right.
But I can I can have a definitive impact on it.
I like that. It doesn't really fix the eliminated player thing, but it does add a really interesting... do I really want to wipe out that player? And it also causes a problem of deliberately creating the... remember in Warcraft 2 when you couldn't lose if you still had a building on the map? And so even if you had been utterly destroyed, you would just try to ruin someone's day by going to the most furthest flung corner and building like a farm?
Yes.
People deliberately producing that. But the flip side, like, I'm going to annihilate you, except I'm going to leave you with a unit.
Right.
So you can't... you're not dead, so you don't get your mummy powers.
You would need some sort of, like, bleeding mechanic to make sure that was hard to do.
Yeah.
Where it was very hard to be left at an extremely low amount of health. It would generate an interesting scenario, too, where, like, if you, me, and Gary are playing, and I see that you're about to eliminate Gary on your turn, I'm going to be like, I need to clear the hell out.
Well, it also creates a really interesting... kind of the situation we run into in Coup a lot, where if a player gets too many credits without cooing someone, they become sort of a blunt weapon for the other players to wield based on their turns. A dying character could conceivably become, you know, depending on how the game played out, it could be less mechanical and more like who can really curry favor, like, oh, I tried to help you Gary, sorry, you're...
rain hellfire on the other guy.
Yeah, no, throw it at him. And so it kind of creates a situation where you need to be more careful how you deal with people while they're in-game, because they have the ability, if they get knocked out, to really ruin your day.
If they get knocked down, will they get up again?
You're never going to keep them down.
They get knocked down!
Etc.
Yeah.
You were talking about your idea for them getting one more turn, and you were talking about their priests. You know, it takes a turn for them to embalm them and whatever. And I was thinking, this is too complex for what we're talking about, I think, but it could conceivably work in some way. What if the power you're able to wield in your mummified form is dependent on the number of followers you had?
Ooh.
So however you chose to rate followers, if it's area control, how big your area became or how big your army was or whatever, which I guess means, I don't know how well that actually works, because it means a bigger fall from power also means you get to do more, which kind of sucks for the person who's like, it's my first time and I'm going to lose, and I'm not going to be able to do very much as a mummy when I come back. So that's a little bit of a bummer. I had another idea while you were talking about that, and I forgot what it was.
Do you think, I mean, it's definitely a mechanic that makes, that more or less enshrines kingmaking as part of the game.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else is going to get to pick who wins. Do you think is that a problem, or is that just kind of funny, given the goofiness of the idea?
Well, I think it's funny. I think given the type of game that seems to work best with, it probably wouldn't work well.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to do something like that in something a little lighter, like a King of Tokyo,
yeah, so I think
it could be
like
okay.
Like a brawler type game.
Yeah. But if you were to do it in Eclipse, I think especially, and I think more than the type of the game, it's the time commitment of the game and effort, but they kind of go hand in hand.
If I'm doing well for 15 minutes and then Gary ruins it, that's one thing. If I'm doing well for 4 hours and then Gary ruins it,
yeah.
That's a different thing.
There's a computer game or two that does something like this, and I'm trying to think what it is.
I don't know.
There's... Oh, come on. What is... There's some stuff... There are some things where you can come back and, like, have a relatively powerful charge-up attack when you're dead.
I think Bomberman, one of them, did it.
Yeah, you can move the cursor around or something.
You had a turret on the edge of the screen.
That's what I'm thinking of. You know, the cannon, so you could real. That's some straight up king making, but it's like pretty powerful. It's kind of fun. And then the other thing I was thinking of that's similar but not quite is in Left 4 Dead. If you're doing survivors versus zombies, sometimes a zombie gets killed and comes back as one of the like absurd, gigantic, powerful tank zombies. And then you're like, I get to wreck everyone. And that's kind of fun, but it's not quite game making necessarily.
And I think
right?
both of those illustrate the point you made a moment ago about how this doesn't work in a long-term game.
Right. Both of those are on a timer.
Yeah, and they got pretty quick turnover round to round. Yep. So definitely not something you want to put in a game that people are really building in.
Yeah, when you've spent 6 hours in Risk and then finally Blue gets knocked out and comes back as the unholy hordes of whatever for one turn
to just
decimate anyone in Africa or wherever they happened to lose their last unit. Maybe not so great.
Not good.
I would enjoy it immensely.
If you were that one person.
Yes. And I would be. See, and that goes back to the victory condition problem of like, I would shoot for that every game of Risk. Because it would get me out earlier than everyone else. And I would get to ruin everyone else's
day.
You
might, it might even be interesting to take the concept one step further. So like, suppose you had a game where you are like, humans fighting undead, just to go with a really simple concept.
Sure.
A player dies, they become part of the undead, and now their victory condition is to make the undead win.
Yeah.
So if all four players die, or however many players, it's not like the game ends, it's that they now just have to defeat the humans, because now they're undead.
I like that. I've seen that
and
done.
And the game just, you didn't lose, you just have to win win for the other team now. Actually, that's kind of sweet, I want to make that game.
It has the real problem of either being so imbalanced that, like, the only way to make that work is to get killed early on, or to be too well-balanced and have the potential for games that never end.
Yeah, but if you can make it work.
If you can make it work, it would be great. I think we should try.
Okay.
Good talk.
Good talk, everyone. So we are contractually obligated to move on to the next commercial now in order to get our sweet, sweet paycheck from the good folks at NCBABPS7, home of Crime Mummy, 8, 7 Central, weeknights.
So we're going to do that now. We'll be right back. Well, this commercial is running, because really, as we're recording, we can take as much time as we want. Want to go watch another episode of Crime Mummy?
I want to watch so many episodes of Crime Mummy.
I have the whole Blu-ray box set.
I want to put my Crime Mummy hat on my head and eat my Crime Mummy flakes while I watch it.
They don't sound appetizing, but they're magically delicious.
They're just scraps of linen.
We'll be right back. The Mildly Alarming Podcast is brought to you by Time Mummy. Last season saw Time Mummy and Lonnie take on their biggest case yet.
All right, Time Mummy, this is it. The Holly Smoot Gang is in that warehouse. You ready, pal? You're right, Time Mummy. Here goes.
But if Time Mummy knows anything, it's that crime is never mum. Me.
Stay close, Time Mummy. Look out, Time Mummy! Oh my god, Time Mummy, you've been hit! Hang on, Time Mummy! I need backup at the docks! Time Mummy's down! Don't you die on me!
Will Time Mummy pull through? Probably. He's a mummy, and also a time-traveling super cop. But will Lonnie pull through this stark reminder of his own mortality? Find out with Time Mummy weeknights on NCBABPS7 right after Prime Mummy, and stick around after the show for Climb Mummy, a show about a rock-climbing pharaoh who's also a cop? Don't miss it.
Well, welcome back to the Crime Mummy Podcast. I'm Tom Rich.
And I'm Johannes Stauffer.
And we have a segment for you. It is called Booze in the News. Do I come back?
We're back.
It's done now? I start talking again?
Yep.
Okay. Welcome back. Booze in the News, the show where the part of the show, the piece element of the object thing, where we drink liquor and talk about news articles that we find on the internet. Internet news articles on the internet.
More like farticles.
But we're not going to talk about regular internet news. We're not going to talk about finance.
Who cares about finance?
Nobody. Or we're not going to talk about the price of gasoline.
In China.
Or anywhere.
We're not going to talk about stumping the Trump.
Because you can't.
Can't stump the Trump.
Can't stump the Trump. Somebody might try to stump the Trump, but they will find out they are a Trump chump.
Did you see the website where you can Trump the Trump?
I didn't see that.
It's incredible. We'll post it in the show notes. It's just a picture of Donald Trump, and depending on where you click on it, a trumpet blows in his face super loud and confetti comes out of it and it blows his hair back.
Is that it?
That's all of it.
He looks like a potato with a butthole mouth.
and like a hairpiece, sort of.
Well, that's the
potato hair?
The potato hair, yeah. Like before you take the potato out of the husk, you know, that kind of flowy stuff coming out of it that gets everywhere when you're husking your potatoes. That's what's on the top of Trump.
I think you're thinking of a different thing.
What am I thinking of?
Crepes.
Wow.
Or corn.
Right.
This is why we don't have any money.
We do have money now because
now,
NCBABPS7 is sponsoring us via Crime Mummy 87 Central weeknights. NCBABPS7.
Crime Mummy.
Mummies.
Crime. Lonnie. So
Booze in the news. I have a article from discoverynews.com entitled Mummy Identification Still an Uncertain Science.
Like, does that mean they can't tell what is and isn't a mummy?
Yeah.
Or, wait, what?
So like you see somebody coming down the street at you and you have to figure out if he's a mummy or not, right? Like I think about that every day. I see somebody and I'm like, mummy or not? Got to figure this out. And it turns out it's much harder than you would think.
You could probably start it as a game for young children, not too young, mm-hmm. lest they possibly be frightened of mummies if they grew up in an area where there aren't a lot of mummies. I'm not saying you should be frightened of mummies.
No, mummies are citizens like anyone else.
But I'm just, again, please, I don't want a lot of hate mail. There are people who grew up in an area without a lot of mummies. And their children might just from having never seen one before, be afraid of their glowing eyes and flowing bandages.
And the scarabs that surround them.
And the sort of unearthly, horrifying noise. I guess it's not unearthly. They're from Earth, right?
Pretty much everything going on there is earthly. But it's spooky.
Spooky it sounds. Spooky. You know, yeah. There's a lot going on there for a young child. So at any rate, a mummy or not mummy game.
Good God, man.
Tom rolled his eyes so hard that his entire body did a backflip, but pivoting around his head in midair.
The point is, it's hard to tell a mummy from not a mummy sometimes.
See, because it could be, you know, we found a mummy, but we don't know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, though. It's the other thing.
It's the other thing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, like, I think it's a case of scientists making it too hard because they got all these machines and devices to tell mummy, not mummy. I just look and I'm like, bandages, mummy. No bandages, not mummy.
Yeah.
Boom.
It seems, I don't know. Is that profiling?
No. It's not profiling.
Well, what if a mummy had been out for a jog and got real warm and took his bandages off?
Well, he'll be carrying him. He's not going to leave him behind.
Maybe he has a backpack.
Okay.
Maybe his army of scarabs is carrying them.
Well,
like back around the corner.
Oh my!
He walks right around a store corner, you blind corner. You can't see what's over there behind him. You don't hear the chittering of a thousand.
All I see is an
glittering black scarab.
All I see is an emaciated guy with glowing eyes coming down the street.
Yeah,
I'm gonna guess that's a mummy.
Not like some sort of alien or revenant.
No, I'm gonna guess mummy. I'm going to guess mummy right away, because aliens and revenants, they're not real.
That's a fair point.
Thank you. I don't think that's profiling at all. I think that is just positively identifying a mummy. And I'm not saying it's anything bad. I'm just saying I that's what I'm going to think. I'm going to identify that guy as a mummy. And that's it. That's the end. I'm just going to, oh, mummy. And then I'm going to go on my day. We'll walk past each other. Maybe I'll say hello, and he'll say hello in ancient Egyptian, I assume. That's what he's saying. I don't
that's
speak
what they're
it.
Saying.
I really do too, because I don't know, and I've heard mummies lay curse.
We at NCBABPS7 apologize for the behavior of the hosts of the Mildly Alarming podcast. Their views are their own and do not reflect the views of NCBABPS7 or its parent companies, affiliates, shareholders, or employees. We now, unfortunately, return you to the Mildly Alarming podcast.
Anyway, science is having a hard time identifying mummy versus not mummy, and I think it's easier than that. What article do you have, Johannes?
Well, the entire lengthy headline from the Daily Mail says, "Change the sheets, give me cuddles, and I'll laugh at your jokes. Mummy blogger ditches romance and writes, quote, real marriage vows with a list of demands for her husband."
Okay. I guess, like, that's... That's, I guess. That's
I don't know why this is really making news.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a mummy who has a mummy who has a blog and a husband just writing a thing. Like, that's what bloggers do.
Yeah.
I don't know why you got to call attention to the fact that it's a mummy doing it.
I mean, maybe she blogs about mummy things, you know.
Generally, like...
Bandage maintenance and...
Like, she's a well-known mummy blogger about mummy topics.
Yeah.
Specific, like, you know, what do you do if your scarabs are sad?
Yeah, or like, yeah. I don't know.
What do you?
I imagine they take up a lot of space. Like maybe how to build. You know, maybe it's like a Pinterest-y kind of blog. You know, how to build because Daily Mail. So she's probably from the UK.
Sure.
Now, and obviously originally from Egypt, but now
are there mummies else? Other
no,
else?
No, no.
Mummies are all Egypt.
I'm sure there are mummies in other places. At any rate, but like, you know, if you're in a small flat, because who knows what your mummy salary can afford in the heart of London.
Right, right. It depends what you do as a mummy.
Right, but you still have your army of scarabs.
Sure.
You got to put them somewhere.
And, well, you got
to
feed them.
You got to feed them. They got to have somewhere to sleep.
There's only so much carrion.
Right. So, you know, there's probably some kind of nice... You like a scarab's not real big. You can make sort of wall, shelf, bed, little nest things for them. Uh-huh. Or maybe they can burrow a certain distance into the plaster of your walls without bothering the neighbors. But that's probably the kind of stuff.
Mummies have powerful sorcery, right, too, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
So, like, couldn't you create an interdimensional hell space for your scarabs to live in? Like, couldn't you breach the walls of space and time and just tuck them away out of the way and then bring them back when you need them?
I don't know. You know, maybe it depends on the mummy.
Maybe we should get a mummy on the show.
We probably should.
We'd have
to learn to speak whatever.
Ancient Egyptian.
Or...
mummy.
If there are other mummies from other places.
I wonder where else mummies come from. I don't know a lot about mummies.
It's a real problem. We'll have to have another mummy episode. And that was when everyone stopped listening.
Yes, I don't think that we could get away with another mummy episode. Certainly not if you decide to broadcast everything that was said in this segment.
Well, that's all we got. It turns out, perhaps concerningly so, there's just not a lot of mummy news.
Yeah, I mean, maybe mummies don't make the news often. Like, they don't, like,
they're just trying to keep it on the low down.
Yeah, they keep a low profile.
On the down low.
They just
one of those.
One of the two. They just do their mummy thing, and it just doesn't come up a lot. It's sort of like how, you know, model train enthusiasts don't make the news a lot because, like, nothing much goes on there.
I don't know. I imagine probably 3/4 of serial killers that make the news were probably model train enthusiasts at some point in their lives. I'm just saying, kids love trains, and we should end this episode.
And that's the end of the Mildly Alarming podcast.
Probably forever.
So if you want to tell us why you hate us, you can, hit us up on Twitter at Mildly Alarming.
Oh man, we flip-flopped
it.
I don't know how we're even going to do this. You could send us an email at mildlyalarmingshow@gmail.com.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other fine podcasting applications, and leave us a 5-star review.
You could also leave a comment on the website at www.mildlyalarming.com. Or you could get your priests and acolytes to remove your internal organs and place them in various jars or just the garbage, depending on which organ and its purpose. Wrap you in linen and preserve you in something fairly airtight and bury you under the desert for thousands of years. And when you return as an all-powerful magical creature, we'll probably find out about that.
Well, here.
Yeah.
We have a Google News alert for mummies.
It's true.
And very scary.
See you next week.
Okay, bye.
After this word from our sponsor, Crime Mummy, on NCBABPS 7 weeknights, 8/7 Central. The Mildly Alarming podcast is brought to you by Maritime Mummy. Last season saw Maritime Mummy and Lonnie take on their biggest case yet.
All right, Maritime Mummy, this is it. The Holly Smoke Gang is in that warehouse. You ready, pal?
Arr, matey.
You're right, Maritime Mummy. Here goes.
Shiver me timbers.
But if Maritime Mummy knows anything, it's that crime is never mum. Me.
Stay close, Maritime Mummy.
The sea be a harsh mistress.
Look out, Maritime Mummy! Oh my god, Maritime Mummy, you've been hit!
Rum for your women.
Hang on, Maritime Mummy. I need backup at the docks. Maritime Mummy's down. Don't you die on me.
Avast, ye scurvy knaves.
So it's just the same show, right? Is anyone else seeing this? It's the same show, but the mummy makes a different sound, right? Anyone else? Just me? Okay. Catch Whatever Mummy for like 6 straight hours every weeknight on NCBABPS 7.